Blog Talk Radio.
Friday, Black Friday. I hope you enjoyed yesterday, Thanksgiving. It's still Thanksgiving Day weekend. Big shout out to those of you out there getting those big deals and those of you that are working hard and making all that good commission and making those great sales. And man, and the hotels and restaurants also, we're always focused on the retailers. But the hotel industry and restaurant industry is doing pretty good, too, during this Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend. I mean, locally, I've been amazed at what the local media has been reporting and covering. And then nationally, people have really been showing out regarding if their favorite item is sold out or not. You know, we've been talking about that all week. do your best to maintain your composure. But, you know, these are some good deals, huh? And remember, get your apps, visit websites, make sure you're are signed up with your favorite retailers so you can get those alert messages. And either you might not have to go into the store. You might can just shop online, you know, just like with Mark. If you don't order out of the Magalog or host a party and or attend a party, you can always visit meetmark.com. If you have your own Mark rep or if you need to locate one in your area, just visit Meetmark and search for a local Mark rep. Hey, or shop at my e-boutique at mymarkstore.com /Bethany Williams. And we are having, you know, we're revved up with Mark and Avon Brand, Avon Company. We're revved up also regarding Black Friday and Cyber Monday also. So that's a wild good thing. But been having a blast on and offline. I always love Thanksgiving, regardless. Nice, quiet Thanksgiving day. Spent with my mom and a couple of, well, yesterday was my mother's birthday also, so she had a couple of visitors bringing her cards and stuff like that. And it's just the kickoff of the season. But you know what? My attorney, crazy friend Jay Lucas and Big D, he brought up a good point on Facebook regarding how, you know, so everybody's not happy to go lucky. This is not what he said verbatim. I share with you verbatim what he shared because he is always sharing such inspirational info. Even though he's a comedian, also, but he is an attorney and he is a spiritual guy. And he brought up a good point overnight regarding how some people, everybody's just not into the holiday season. And then those that aren't into the holiday season, you know, those that are into it should not try to push and ponder why certain people aren't up to it. People have their reasons why. You know, I love the holiday season, but then also it's kind of a sad moment also for some people. Like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I have no money. I have no significant other. Well, I'm blessed and I'm happy to see the holiday season because it's one of the that's what I've always loved since I was a kid. But, you know, there are loved ones that I miss. Some people get the holiday blues. Some people are about humbug. Some people are just more interested in seeing a new year arrive, you know, and because 2013 will be here in a little over a month. So some people are just like, okay, I'm appreciative and I'm thankful, but come on 2013, let's get this party started. You know, so it's an interesting point that he brought up, and if I get an opportunity, I'll share that with you. If not, I'll share it with you tomorrow because also Facebook friends also shared this perspective, and it was very interesting, because it brings up a good point, you know, really, because people have their own reasons, and people have the right to keep things private or to say, well, this happened or this is the reason why I'm not so all this. And then some people really think the holiday season is too commercialized. Like my Aunt Midrit, she retired from working in the retail industry probably about 4 years ago. She's a long-time employee with Sears. You know, we don't have a Sears now at the Metro Center Mall. My aunt, well, here I mentioned her name. My aunt happened to have been the first person of color to be hired at the local Sears department store in the 60s. You know, that's a big deal. We're in Jackson, Mississippi. So she was the first, not black woman, black person of color. And it was a gentleman who was hired after her that was of African American. And but my aunt, long time, worked with Sears and retired, like I said, maybe 4 or 5 years ago from Sears. And when I spoke with her the other day, I said, Aunt Midrit, what do you think about Black Thursday? And she was like, oh, my God. She was like, you know, just like J.C. Penney said, Thanksgiving is for Thanksgiving, but to each his own. I mean, some people just have a way of celebrating and doing things, just staying focused. And just because it's, I guess, the commercialized part of it, the shopping and so on, is being upplayed, it does not mean, I guess, people aren't being thankful. But I could resist asking my aunt about that, you know? And so I'm like, man, this is something how it is. But, you know, it's part of, honestly, as many of us look at it as a celebration, because to me, if you're not in the spirit when you're shopping or if you work in the retail industry, it puts you in the spirit, you know? Because I loved it when I was working, we'll be working in a store, you know, and it's the holiday season because you like to see the excitement of your customers and of the people that you work with. It's just an exciting moment. Even those that maybe don't are feeling bah humbug, you know, I've seen people who felt like I'm just not into it, but then they do feel a vibe for a moment, at least when they're at work or at least when they're shopping, you know. So I just wanted to share that for a moment. But this is Sports Friday edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Report. And also, I had something going on with my switchboard, so pretty much gabbing at the mouth also until this situation that I am doing, because this is live radio, internet radio, the situation that I'm doing, just continuing to talk as this completes. But if today is your birthday, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Martini, PhD, a big D. You all know PhD, a PhD salon in downtown Dallas, across from Neiman Marcus. Today is his birthday. So go by, tell him I sent you, and tell him. They're probably, I don't know, but maybe they're doing a Black Friday special also. But go by and tell him, if you're in town, go by and tell him happy birthday to PhD, PhD Salon Elite in downtown Dallas. You all remember him. He was a guest on the show back in the springtime, and he shared a lot of helpful information with us regarding hair care and just good taking care of ourselves. Remember? So check him out today. It's his birthday, and tell him happy birthday. And, wow, there's many more birthdays happening. Again, my mother turned 81 yesterday, so that's so awesome. And the Redskins won their game, right? I miss seeing Kenny Chesney, so I'm going to have to check it out some way. Was watching the local news, that's how I missed halftime. Well, I was watching, Mom and I was watching the rebroadcast of the parade, and then watching the wildness and also the loving and giving and the sharing of those around Jackson. So many homeless people were fed here in Jackson, and those who just want someone to eat with. You know, sometimes people just don't want to eat alone. Sometimes when people go certain places, they just don't want to eat alone. They want to be around other people. So it was so nice to see people in Jackson loving and giving, and so many people that volunteer, because I spent many Thanksgivings volunteering. And a lot of times it's the ones that are doing the volunteering that really feel the love and feel good and feel special and feel like, hey, I'm making a difference. It's a give-and-take situation when one volunteers and spends time with others, right? I know. But we're going to continue talking about the NFL head coaches, and congratulations again to the Redskins and the Patriots and other teams that won their respective games. And those Saints play those 49ers on Sunday, right? And, you know, you can call in and talk about any of your favorite teams of sports. Very sad news going on in the world of boxing, huh? Man, it's sad. So we'll talk about that also. I believe Rich Roughneck will be calling us later on this morning. I talked with him on Facebook late last night around midnight, and I think he might call us. I don't know what's on his mind. He didn't give me any idea what he would like to talk about, but I'm pretty sure we're going to talk about the Cowboys. you know, there's a lot going on in the NBA also, and wow, and in soccer, a lot of news happening, and also in NASCAR. I always want to talk about auto racing, and some of you NASCAR fans and auto racing fans should call in sometimes and talk about that. Now, this is off-the-track news that you all heard that Danica Patrick and her husband are splitting after 7 years. I know. Wow. horrible, his raw, his sadness. Prince, that is from the double album from 1982. Man, I remember my late brother, Christopher Dale White, who loved Prince, adored Prince, who was a musician himself. I remember my brother handed me that double album, which I still have. Oh, my God. And my brother passed away before the movie came out, Purple Rain. But he handed me that album, I was like, oh, my God, thank you. Because we will always get our Prince music, like, ahead of time or right when the music would drop on Tuesdays. So I was like, thank you. So that was Do Me Baby. And you know what, the song that I play a lot, Something in the Water, that's also from that album. Prince. Yes. Do Me Baby. International lover. Oh, my God. Hits forever. Lou Reed Corvette. You know, those of you that know, but those of you that just, I know many of you are new to Prince, too. Those of you that are new to Prince, you got to get on 1999. And speaking of vinyl, and speaking of new music, Prince dropped Rock and Roll Love Affair on yesterday. Swiss label, Purple Music, you know, partnered with MPG, which is Prince label, and released it on yesterday. Now, we Americans can put our hands on it. It's on presale on Amazon.com. So it's going for like $16.95. I was checking it out earlier. Believe it or not, Prince has dropped a new video. Those of you that don't know, an official new video is at youtube.com/purplemusictv. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's an awesome video. The song Rock and Roll Love Affair, which he performed on Jimmy Kimmel Live back on October 23rd. Awesome. Prince never lost it. Anybody that thought he had, you're out of your mind. And, you know, I'm going on with this Purple campaign because it's time for Prince to get his Hollywood Walk of Fame star. So I just wanted to let you all know that. And Do Me Baby, so awesome. Love it. You know, man, when Prince first came, I just knew I was his girl. But, you know, I wasn't his type back then. You know why? Because I was a little girl. But I love me some Prince. He's like a brother. He's a brother that I never met in person, so it's just a blessing to have known him since I was a little girl. I can't, you know, hopefully we'll be blessed to meet one another before we go on to heaven. I'm guessing we'll be going to heaven. I'm sure. People ask me that. Sometimes people ask me, do you know if you're going to heaven? Do you ever get that question from people? And to be honest, I feel like I will go to heaven. Do I want to go soon? No, I want to live a long life. You know, so some people look at me like, really, people are evangelizing and asking questions. And I'm like, you know, I feel so much peace inside. I do feel that I'm comfortable. And I'm like, okay, if the Lord calls me, I will be ready, but I don't want to be called like anytime soon. I think many of us don't want to be. So I'm very optimistic and looking forward to seeing many, many more years, and I prayfully hope I do. So I don't know. I just brought that up real quick because this is a time to be thankful, and this is a time for many of us to be thankful. And that's what I'm thankful for, to be breathing and to be alive. God's love, God's gift of life, and to have amazing people in my life. We all go through ups and downs and heartaches and just all kinds of situations. But the bottom line, we're breathing and we're alive. And the thing is to be optimistic and believe that a better outcome, regardless of what we're going through. And even if we're not, if you're not going through anything tough, you know, it's good to pray and ask the Lord to strengthen you for when those tough days come, you know. So, you know, I learn every day that, you know, what's the saying, that the Lord won't put on you anything, that you can't handle. And, you know, it's unbelievable, but it's amazing how I've witnessed people be really strong when I thought they would just tear up, even myself, you know. But it seems like some situations just toughens us and strengthens us. But I just wanted to let some of you know, because some of you probably wonder, well, where can I get this music? But Swish Record Company, called Purple Music, is the company that released it, and that's their YouTube channel. And well, Prince, you know, Prince is in partnership with them. You know, Prince, you all know Prince is real strict, so he's not gonna. That's an official video, so Prince has the last say of any of his artistic and creative works getting out. So you know, Prince he's in partnership with the Swiss company, which releasing it, you know, overseas. And but it's on pre-sale at Amazon.com, and I'm quite sure we'll be seeing more videos. But check that video out; it's so awesome. I posted it out on Tumblr and on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and so on. But if you go straight to that YouTube channel, you can subscribe to the channel and network with them. And I guess, you know, those of you with videos, send those videos to Purple Music TV. You know, that's a good idea. Those of you that have been getting in a little trouble in regards to posting Prince videos, I'm just saying, you know. Okay, well, let's continue the show because we need to talk sports. But I know a lot of Prince Purple peeps want to know this. Okay. January of this year, so it's way overdue time for him to return to the show, based in Savannah, Georgia. Amazing, positive artist, and very spiritual, which is, all his songs are very spiritual and inspired by his love of God and Jesus Christ. And so, amazing artist. Love his music. And I have to ask that question again. Who is the spokesperson, the brand ambassador for Mark Cosmetics? Because remember, if you call me, or if you tell me in the chat room who it is, whoever's first, I'll send you a Mark product and a current Magalog and also Mark sample. Okay? So if you don't get a lucky caller today, then we'll continue on to Monday. But then I'll ask harder questions also on Monday. But here's my friend Charizmi of Turkey, Krasna Sirius, also as he is known, Hitty Funk. Thank you. Love it. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. Again, who is the spokesperson, the brand ambassador for Marc and Avon Brand?
Man, drop that shit for these fuck niggas. Man, drop that shit.
Woo! All we do is win. Love it. Okay, 90 more seconds to the live streaming ends. So, need to call in to answer that question and get your free mark item along, well, a goodie package, to be honest. Item, samples, and so on. Questions are just getting a little harder, and then you will come calling, right? Because I love Mark. But the question was, who's the brand ambassador? I was supposed to model for Mark. I asked a question tomorrow night at 11 when weekend edition of Culture Shock Entertainment Reports broadcast, and also on Monday. Ridge Roughneck is online, but I need to send out happy birthdays also. Okay, this is what I want to share with you, what Attorney Jay had shared overnight. He says that on his status, there are a lot of people who have a lot to be thankful for, but who do not enjoy the holidays. They have their reasons. The holidays represent pain, heartache, and bad memories for these people. Be understanding. Don't call them Scrooges or tell them to cheer up. Think about it. For many years of your life, you watched as everyone else was, celebrating and being happy, but you're in the midst of the most terrible psychological pain. Would you be able to just get over it and enjoy those times? Most of those of us who don't like the holidays have damn good reasons. No one is owed an explanation, but we are owed your understanding. And, you know, and that's a good point, you know? And then he goes on to say, I used to leave the country every year. I appreciate the friends who go all out. I put on a vacay or I opt out via travel or bugging in. Those with happy memories find it difficult to understand those about. I think it's probably impossible for the happy memory folks to truly understand the depth of despair the unhappy memory present people, present people go through. Be strong. Help our unhappy holiday-hating brethren get through these days. Volunteer. Maybe you can build some happy memories after all. You know, and I see I didn't read that part until just now. And other Facebook friends go on to add. But one that I really agree with that was brief said it's so true, real compassion, understanding can go a long way. And that's what I talk about often regarding the holidays. You know, there are people that get extremely depressed. Some people that are just bah humbug for different reasons. So, that, you know, that is a good point, really. You know, it's good to spread good cheer, but also to try to be understanding to people because sometimes if you push the issue, it might bring up just sad memories and make them feel worse. But we want to help one another feel better about life in general and about the ending of the year, the holiday season, and the new year that is approaching. But that's so true. People do have their reasons. As happy-go-lucky as I sound, you know, there are certain loved ones that I miss deeply because they love the holidays, and I cherish the memories. But then, like I said before, I don't have any money. I don't have a significant other. And so I'm like, okay. But I am overall happy. But I'm thankful for what I have, but I'm praying for, you know, to make money again, doing things I love to do, advancing my education, and even though I'm not looking for love, love finding me, you know, and finally becoming a divorcee, because that's something that I'm bah humbug about, you know, and which I talk about, some of you probably get tired of me talking about, but really, so we all have our reasons, but one thing about it, being thankful, and it goes back to what Attorney Jay said, too, at least some people are thankful, but they're just not involved in the festivities of what's actually going on, you know, But, you know, nosy us, some of us, you know, we like to see people at least a little happy or somewhat happy, you know. But what he's basically saying is don't push the issue. You know, you can be just, you know, kind and spread good cheer, but don't push the issue and tell people that they're wrong for not being festive, you know, because some people are thankful. They just not into it, you know. They're just not into it for their own reasons and so on. So, you know, that's a good point. I just wanted to share that because many of you might feel the same way, you know. And not only is he an attorney, but he's, you know, something that I wanted to become also, a psychologist. So that's a good point, you know, really it is. And some people might say, well, no, but, you know, but really people have their reasons. People get so depressed. You know, I talk about depression and suicide a lot. And people get the holiday blues, or and maybe don't have holiday blues, just not into the festivities, you know. So I thought that was interesting, and I hope he didn't mind me sharing that with you all, like I shared his story from last week. But he shared some interesting things and makes some interesting good points and so on. But we do have Ridge Roughneck online, and also need to talk about the coaches. And it's a lot to talk about, from the boxing world, sad news, to the game, you know, Cowboys, and, you know, that RG3 and the Redskins, they're not nothing to, you know, play with. And the Patriots doing that thing. I missed Kenny Chesney's performance. Mom and I turned it on the Cowboys game on third quarter. I became sleepy. One of my former classmates, we were talking in our school's Facebook group, and he was like, well, did the Cowboys win? And I was like, no, they didn't win. I fell asleep too. And then we turned the channel onto that game, so ended up missing pretty much all of the Jets game because I was waiting for that game to come on. And then I hear they made like 3 touchdowns in just a matter of a couple minutes, a little over a minute, not even a minute. And so so I did catch the post game interview and seeing the guys eating their turkey and stuff like that. But Cowboys game, they did, they almost made it happen though, 38-31. But the Saints meet the 49ers, and that's going to be an interesting game too on Sunday. And oh man, I guess Ridge might have caught some of the other games that were played on yesterday. But wow. But what's going on in the boxing news has been really sad, too. But we'll say another song, a couple of PSAs, and we're going to talk to Ridge Roughneck and also talk about these head coaches that we've been talking about for the past, pretty much since the NFL season started, the regular NFL season. So, again, thank you for tuning in and supporting the show. It's so awesome. You are appreciated.
Christmas is in the air. Since 1907, millions of Americans have decorated their holiday cards and packages with the American Lung Association's Christmas Seal. Money raised through Christmas Seals funds vital research and education in asthma, lung cancer, and other debilitating lung diseases. And it helps fund the fight to protect kids from tobacco and promote cleaner air all across America. Join us as America celebrates another year of Christmas Seal. At ChristmasSeals.org, you can revisit 100 years of Christmas Seals designs and even email them to family and friends. But most importantly, you can order this year's seals and be a part of this life-saving holiday tradition. Celebrate another year with American Lung Association Christmas Seals at ChristmasSeals.org.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few, I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend
everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit
facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
Thank you.
my friends was for in the foundry. Wow, okay. Now we're talking about Mike McCarthy. I don't think we made it to him last week. I feel like I did, but we didn't get to talk about Mike McCarthy, who is the coach, of course, many of you know, because I know a lot of Green Bay Packer fans are listening. He was born in November. So he just had a birthday, November 10th, 1963. He's a professional American football coach, currently serving as the head coach of the National Football League's Green Bay Packer. He was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. His father was a firefighter and a Pittsburgh police officer, as well as a bar owner who raised McCarthy as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. McCarthy was a tight end at Baker University, a NAIA school located in Baldwin City, Kansas. No, I wanted to talk about him. I feel like I talked about him last week, but I didn't. After serving as a graduate assistant at Fort Hays State from 87 to 88, McCarthy returned home to Pittsburgh and was hired to work under Paul Hackett at the University of Pittsburgh, where he served as quarterback's coach for three seasons before coaching wide receivers during the 1992 season. At first and during the offseason, he also worked on the Pennsylvania Turnpike to supplement his income. See, these stories are amazing. And I'm getting it straight from Wikipedia, but, you know, these stories are amazing. His NFL career goes as this: assistant coach in 1993. McCarthy began a stint with the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs. After working 2 years as an offensive quality control assistant, McCarthy became quarterback coach, overseeing the work of Rich Gannon, Elvis Grubach, and Steve Bono. McCarthy spent the 1999 season in the same position with the Packers, coaching Mississippi's own, that's me talking, Brett Favre, in a season when Favre threw for 4,091,000 yards, the fourth best total of his career. After the Packers released the entire coaching staff following the 1999 season, McCarthy became the offensive coordinator of the New Orleans Saints. He will remain in that position for five seasons and selected as the NFC Assistant Coach of the Year by USA Today in 2000. In 2005, McCarthy served as an offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. His unit, beset by injuries and led by the rookie quarterback, top draft pick Alex Smith, finished the season ranked last in the NFL in points scored in yards gained. I think I did go over him just briefly. Head coach returned to Green Bay, because you know Alex Smith went to high school with Reggie Bush. McCarthy was interviewed by Packers general manager Ted Thompson on January 8, 2006, and was offered a head coaching position 3 days later. In 06, the Packers started with 4-8 record, but managed to win their last four games to finish the season 8-8, ending with a win against their arch rival Chicago Bears, but missing the playoffs for the second year straight. In 07, McCarthy guided the Packers to an 8-1 record in the first nine games of the 07 season. McCarthy recorded the best one-loss ratio to start the first 25 games of a career among active coaches, setting the record for the best coaching start in Packers history. Vince Lombardi went 15-10 and tied Washington's Joe Gibbs at 16-9. McCarthy led the Packers to a 13-3 record and made it to the NFC Championship game, where they lost to the eventual Super Bowl winning New York Giants in overtime. That year, he finished second and voted for the Associated Press Coach of the Year award, garnering 15 votes to Bill Belichick's 29 votes. He signed a 5-year contract extension with the team on January 19, 2008, that raised his salary to $3.4 million a year. In 08, McCarthy became embroiled in a major controversy involving the future of their franchise quarterback, Brett Favre. The controversy started when Favre, having announced his retirement, changed his mind, deciding to play again. Favre had assumed that he would be given the starting quarterback job again. McCarthy and the Packers general manager, yeah, I did go over this, but the show aired late night last Friday, so many of you missed this. Some other new listeners at nighttime heard it, but those of you that like to listen on this time missed it. had Ted Thompson had stated their desire to move forward with new starter Aaron Rodgers. Favre was offered the opportunity to be the backup to Rodgers, an offer which Favre refused. Favre was ultimately traded to the New York Jets for a conditional fourth-round draft pick. The 08 season was McCarthy's worst to date with the Packers, despite a solid showing by Rodgers, who threw for over 4,000 yards and posted a 93.8 passer rate. The Packers started with a 5.5 record, proceeding to lose five consecutive close games until they ended the disappointing season with a 31-21 victory over the Detroit Lions. The Lions are the only second team in the NFL's post-merger, the NFL and original AFL merged prior to the 1970 season, history to go winless in a single season, and the first to go 0-16 in one season after the NFL's transition to a 16-game schedule in 1978. At 6-10, the Packers finished third in the NFC North, only ahead the Lions, did not make the playoffs. In 2009, the Packers showed some signs of improvement, but also had struggles. Rodgers improved on 2008 statistics, but was sacked 50 times, more than any other quarterback in the NFL. The Packers dominated teams with losing records, but were swept by their rival, Minnesota Vikings, led by former Packers franchise quarterback Brett Favre. The Packers lost to the winless Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then came back to beat the NFC East leading Dallas Cowboys. They then began a five-game winning streak, and the Packers qualified for the playoffs with a Week 17 win over the Seahawks, finishing at 11-5, the second playoff berth in McCarthy's tenure. The Packers lost the wild card round to the Arizona Cardinals in a controversial overtime game, 51-45. In 2010, McCarthy led the Packers to a 10-6 finish, never losing by more than 4 points and never trailing by more than 7 throughout the entire season. This record was good for second in the NFC North, behind the arch-rival Chicago Bears, with whom they split victories in the regular season. They finished as the 6th seed in NFC. The Packers went on to defeat the number 3-seeded Philadelphia Eagles and then the number 1-seeded Atlanta Falcons. In the NFC Championship game, they played the 2nd seed Chicago Bears for the 3rd time that season. They won 21-14 in the event of the Super Bowl of that year, and where they played the Pittsburgh Steelers. At the Super Bowl was the first time these two-story franchises played each other in the postseason. The Green Bay Packers defeated the Pittsburgh Steelers 31-25 to win their 4th Super Bowl and a 13th NFL title overall. McCarthy signed a 3-year contract extension on March the 4th, 2011. And NFL coaches under whom McCarthy has served has been Marty Schottenheimer, Kansas City Chiefs from 93-98, Ray Rhodes, Green Bay Packers, 99, Jim Haslett, New Orleans Saints, 2000-2004. Mike Nolan, San Francisco 49ers, 05. And assistant coaches under Mike McCarthy, who became NFL coaches, has been Joe Philbin of Miami Dolphins. This is his first season, 2012. And assistant coaches under Mike McCarthy, who became NCAA head coaches, Jeff Jagodzinski of Boston College from 2007 to 2008. In 07, McCarthy was voted the Motorola NFL Coach of the Year after twice receiving Coach of the Week awards. He was also named the NFL Alumni Coach of the Year by a group of former players. In 08, McCarthy received the Distinguished Service Award at the Lee Rimmel Sports Award Banquet in Green Bay. His personal life: McCarthy married Jessica Chris in March 08 at a private ceremony in Maricopa County, Arizona. Together, they have 2 daughters, Gabrielle Kathleen, born on October 22, 08, Isabella Conroy, born on July 29, 2011. McCarthy also has a daughter, Alexandra, from a previous marriage, and 2 stepsons, Jack and George. And again, his sporting positions, he was succeeded by Andy Reid with the Green Bay Packers quarterback coach in 1999 and succeeded by Tom Wathley, and then preceded by Danny Abram Mowick, New Orleans Saints offensive coordinator 2004, and then succeeded by Mike Shepard, and then preceded by Ted Tallner, San Francisco 49ers offensive coordinator 2005, and succeeded by Norv Turner. So that's something. I mean, he worked a job on the Pennsylvania Turnpike to supplement his income. So in He was head coach of Baker University. So it's amazing all the information that we learn about our coaches. It is. It's just amazing what we have learned that, you know, life ain't been a crystal stair for our coaches also. So the next coach we're going to talk about will be Leslie Frazier with the, you know, the Vikes. And a Mississippian, native Mississippian too, straight from the SWAC. So we'll be talking about him during our next live broadcast. I just wanted to let you all know that also. I know we hadn't talked about Coach Payton yet. You know, he's suspended this year, but we talk about the interim coaches. So we do need, you know, oh, I wonder if I could get him on, you know. also, since I do know him, that is one coach I do know. But, hey, we have a big thing that's happening in the state of Mississippi, because I know a lot of Mississippi State and Ole Miss fans are listening. Tomorrow is a big day. This is a game of the game. You all hear Reg Roughneck and I talk about the game. And my even mother the other day was asking me, well, who you think going to win best between Ole Miss and Mississippi State? And my mother says that she believes Mississippi State is a better team. And I'm like, I don't know, Mom, you know. Ole Miss, they're playing at Ole Miss, and so Mississippi State, as you, those of you that know that Mississippi State fans are popular to bring their cowbells with them. Ding, 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 ding. So Ole Miss fans and officials say, hey, you cannot bring those cowbells because of a noise ordinance. And because of noise ordinance, they can't. If they secured or anybody see anybody with a cowbell, they will be asked to take those cowbells back to their automobiles. But the Mississippi State Ole Miss game will be televised tomorrow night on ESPNU. And let me share you a little bit of information also from about the game. And then we will talk to Ridge Roughneck. This is one of the South's oldest rivalries. That game used to be played here in Jackson at the Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium. This is one of the South's oldest rivalries. And Saturday, the Bulldogs will meet the Rebels for the 109th time for the Golden Egg. Lately, this game hasn't had a lot of external meaning, but not so this year as Ole Miss needs to win this game to become bowl eligible in Hugh Freeze's first season at the helm of the Rebels program. Mississippi State is going for only their fourth 9-win regular season in school history on Saturday as well. Overall, the series stands at 60-42-6 in favor of Ole Miss. With that on the line, it adds a huge carrot to dangle over these two teams. It's highly doubtful that Bulldogs want to be remembered as the team that lost the Egg Bowl and allowed their arch rivals to go to a bowl game. Conversely, there probably isn't anything better than winning this game for Ole Miss. Normally, this game is bitter, nasty, and really good, but this is an extra special edition of the Egg Bowl. But Mississippi State to win, it's all about the balance for the Bulldogs in this one. Mississippi State has run just 10 more rushing plays than passing plays on the season as a whole, and it's all about keeping the opposing defenses off balance with their mix of run and pass. If they are forced into doing just one or the other, this team is going to be in trouble. They pass for 243 yards a game and rush for 150 yards a game as well. And if they can get that balance against a defense that basically averages giving up that many yards passing and rushing, they'll win this game. For Ole Miss to win, the Rebels need to avoid turnovers, and the hangover from last week's 41-35 close loss to LSU, plain and simple. The Freeze offense can be powerful at times. Check out last week. But if they aren't on the field, they can't win. On the year, this team ranks 100 nationally in turnovers lost, with 24 turnovers as a team, 14 interceptions, 10 fumbles lost, which means they have averaged nearly 2 turnovers a game. In a rivalry game, you can't overcome mountain turnovers. I don't care who you are or how quick strike your offense can be, avoid those mistakes, and Ole Miss has a chance in this game. The key player for Mississippi State. I know this may sound simplistic, but it is just that for MSU in this one, its quarterback, Kyler Russell, this team will go as far as he takes them and is perhaps one of the most underrated QBs in the country, let alone the SEC. He's passed for 2,523 yards on the year and has completed 60.4 of his passes for 21 TDs to just 4 interceptions this season. Those are very efficient numbers, and he'll be the key to a Bulldogs victory. Key player, Ole Miss, Dante Moncrief, is going to be massive for the Rebels in this game. He's their leading receiver with 53 catches on year already for 775 yards and a team-best 7 touchdowns. If he can't get free in the Bulldogs' backfield and make himself an open target downfield for Bo Wallace, it's going to be a long night at home in Oxford, Mississippi. Key stat, turnovers. This one is interesting more so on the Mississippi State side of things because they are fourth nationally with plus 16 turnover margin. Over the past 3-plus seasons, the Bulldogs are 23-1. When they win the turnover battle in a game, however, when they lose, they have a record of just 5-15. On the season, they forced 27 turnovers, 12 nationally. So if they can win that battle, expect them to win the Egg Bowl. And, wow. That's something I wanted to share with you all. And this is from Andy Coppins, who's the managing editor of Madtown Badgers and a Big Ten blog that he, Delaney's Dozen. Follow him on Twitter at Andy Coppins and follow Crystal Ball Run on Twitter, Crystal Ball Run, and like them also on Facebook. Okay, so that's just a little info from the Crystal Ball Run blog. Early analysis of the Mississippi State versus Ole Miss game. Big, big, big game here in the Deep South in the state of Mississippi. In Oxford, Mississippi, is where the game will be played tomorrow, and it will be televised again on ESPNU. So many of you that will not be attending, you can dig it. Okay, so that should be interesting. So I don't know. I think I'm kind of agreeing with Mom, though. I think Mississippi State might be the team that gets the job done. But, you know, it's hard to say because both teams are very strong. So this is a big rival, you know. So sometimes I just like to stay in the middle. but we'll see. We'll see. I love it to see our Mississippi teams go on and play their bowl games and so on. And you know, Jackson State did their thing, so they're going on to play also in the SWAC championship. So on December the 8th, if I'm not mistaken. So that's going to be pretty awesome. That's the same day that students graduate, and they had to move up the graduation time to earlier in the morning for the student athletes and those that are in the band and such. So, wow, just amazing. But I'm going to go ahead and get back on the switchboard, and let's see what's on Reg Roughneck's mind. And I'm sure a lot. He's full of that turkey and dressing. So just getting my own screen to come back up, and then we can conversate Reg Roughneck. Did you all see Jay Leno last night? It was a good show. Audience filled with military personnel and Bradley Cooper, the handsome Bradley Cooper, was a part of the show and decided to perform and that actress, I like that actress' name. Name on the tip of my tongue. That was an amazing overall show. And then, to top it off, Martha Stewart was a guest on Jimmy Fallon. I love me some Martha Stewart. So that was cool. Cool late night TV. But y'all remember, you can visit Amazon.com if you're interested in getting Prince's new music, Rock and Roll Love Affair, for the pre-sale. But the music company that is releasing its music overseas is Purple Music, a Swiss music label. Okay, headed on back to the switchboard. I started putting up Christmas decorations a couple of nights ago. busted. I need to put some more up. I had to put the tree up. Okay, here's Ridge. Now, here's Ridge. Say, my golly, Beth. Well, 30, golly, you had me holding on. We still have a good minute. Even though the show is normally scheduled for 5:37, we can go over time. So you all don't fret. Ridge has a lot on his mind, a lot to talk about. But I know learning about these coaches and their beginnings to now is just amazing. Love it so much.
Predicament, trying to be a gentleman. She wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no room for this.
No room for
this. I'm caught in between,
caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
Why is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
Why is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
Why is Fernand de Trois?
Hey.
Why is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
Why is Fernand de Trois?
My dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love for the shepherd who left from the shelter to try to find better.
Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind.
Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no room for this.
No room for
when
this.
You fall in a kiss, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between,
caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Hey.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
What is Fernand de Trois?
Yeah.
Birthday yesterday with my mom celebrating her 81st, Austin Brown. Happy birthday to Robin Roberts. Today is her 52nd birthday, TV host of Good Morning America. I guess we'll see her on Good Morning America today, too. I guess they'll wish her a happy birthday. Bruce Valanche, actor, comedy writer, 65. Bruce Hornsby, rock musician, 58. Mary Landrieu, U.S. Senator, Democrat, Louisiana, 57. You know, her brother's in Maryland, New Orleans. Actress, singer Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, engaged lady, 20 years old today. 2011, Yemen's authoritarian President Ali Abdullah Saleh agreed to step down amid a fierce uprising to oust him after 33 years in power. 2006, former KGB spy Alexander Litvinenko died in London from radiation poisoning after making a deathbed statement blaming Russian President Vladimir Putin. Also in 2001, an Israeli helicopter fired two missiles at a van in the West Bank, killing Mahmoud Abu Hanad, a lead member of the Islamic militant Hamas group. In 80, a series of earthquakes devastated southern Italy, killing some 2,600 people. And in 71, the People's Republic of China was seated in the UN Security Council. 54, the Dow Jones Industrial Average finally surpassed its pre-crash high 25 years after Black Tuesday, when it closed at 382.74. Also, did I say Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat in New York, turned 62 years old today also? 03, singer Enrico Caruso made his American debut at the Metropolitan Opera House in New York, appearing in Rigoletto. In 89, the jukebox made, in 1889, the jukebox made its debut at the Palais Royal Saloon in San Francisco. In 1804, Franklin Pierce, the 14th president of the United States, was born in Hillsboro, New Hampshire. And on this date in 1936, my mother was five. Life magazine was first published. That amazing, beautiful, whom everyone loves, Life magazine was published then. So let's holler at Red Roughneck. Usually normal broadcasting ending time is 7, but even I go over when I'm alone, and usually when Ridge Roughneck is on, we go on until 7:30 or 8. So time to holler at Ridge Roughneck, see what's on his mind. And, you know, he didn't give me an idea what we would be talking about, what he'll be talking about. So I'm guessing some Cowboys news and some maybe he has something to say regarding the well-known boxer who was shot and robbed and brain dead, and family had no choice pretty much than to pull the plug. And I don't know, what do you want to talk about? So let's just talk to him ourselves to find out what's on his mind. What's up, Reg Roughneck?
Hey, what's up, sweetheart? Morning.
What's up, you? You feel good?
Well, I was about to say, happy Gobble Gobble Day. And, definitely happy birthday to your wonderful mother. I forgot her birthday was in November.
Yep, yesterday, 81st. Right behind your birthday. You enjoyed
it. It's truly a blessing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as what's on my mind, of course, you know, I'm bitter.
We had that moment of silence.
I was so pissed watching that game, and I was like, here's the thing. I am so sick and tired of the Cowboys always playing catch-up. They put themselves in such a hole, and then they want to, like, they want to spot the team's, you know, 3-4 touchdowns and try to come back. I mean, had they won the game, yes, that would have been the greatest game in Cowboys history, yada, yada, yada. But now we're at the point, I'm about to break off my Jim Mora rant. I'm about to start going, playoffs! Playoffs! You know, it was heart-wrenching watching that game, but I got to give RG3 his props. That young man is nothing nice. He's a freak of nature. I mean, I've never seen a young quarterback just basically will games to win on his own. I mean, he was out there playing like he'd been balling for 10, 12 years. I mean, I will be glad though when his contract is up. Maybe we can Maybe we can get them through free agency or something, or trade. I don't care how we do it, but we got to get him out of that Redskins uniform. He would look so much better in a Cowboys uniform. I'm lobbying to be his agent right now.
Wow.
We got to get him on our team. I mean, it is just, it was sickening watching him out there. And like I say, it wasn't like he was beating us by running the football. This guy is just standing there in the pocket and just, that 68-yard touchdown pass he threw, and it looked almost like he was going to throw the football out of the stadium, and the receiver just outran everybody and caught that one. I mean, it was horrendous watching that first half, but our team has definitely been suffering because they've been having to do things with lack of running game, and it just was it keeps catching up with it. It's always handicapped. But I truly love watching the Lions game with the, as I affectionately call them, the Houston Texans. That was a great game too. I mean, I didn't realize that the Lions had lost ninth straight Thanksgiving game they had lost.
Wow.
And just like I didn't know that was the first time the Redskins ever beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving. And it was also Tony Romo's first home loss in November. They said he had gone undefeated in November his whole career. These things you don't know or realize, and at the time you really don't give a damn, because all I wanted about was that they won the game or lost. That's all I was caring about.
Yeah.
But I really felt bad. For, oh, go ahead. What did you say?
I'm saying history was being made too. Wow.
Right. But I also get tired of all these black quarterback, white quarterback comparisons. I mean, it shouldn't matter with this now. But I think it's safe to say we all know that RG3 is a black quarterback. That shouldn't be hard to figure out by now. But we always have so much parity in today's sports. But he has definitely been sensational regardless. And I also wanted to definitely say, send out condolences to the Camacho family. I was very upset.
I knew you had to have comments for that. Very sad.
It's upsetting that, anytime anybody gets stricken down in the prime of their life, it made me go back thinking back to my father's passing a couple years ago, because, he was pronounced brain dead, and we were going, I remember that time, thinking that we was going to let him at least linger until Sunday. And because he had collapsed that Saturday, and then they had already pronounced him clinically dead. At first, I wanted to try to fight for him and try to, help him get out. But then not knowing that he was stage 4 terminal lung cancer, and how bad the cancer spread, not knowing that. But then once I discovered that, then me and my brother both realized it was time to let him go. But he went on and passed before we got to the hospital, so we didn't have to worry about that part. But I was very saddened by Macho Camacho's death. I mean, he was truly one of the best fighters of his time, and he was always a great showman in the ring, and really. He was always the light to watch. And that was, excuse me. I got coming down the weather a little bit. But, I had learned about that the other day. And they said that, according to the report, they said with the bullet being lodged in his spine the way it did, had he survived, he would be a quadriplegic. I don't know about anybody else, but I know if I can't move anything past my neck, I'd rather be dead myself. I could pretty much, I could probably get over being paralyzed from the waist down, but neck down, I couldn't do it. Yeah, but that Patriots game, it looks like the Patriots trying to storm back with a passion. It was their second or third game they done scored over 40 points. I mean, they just thrashed the Giants last night. I mean, it was comical watching that game, and then I really had a lot of high hopes. I wouldn't necessarily say, I'm really not too much of a Jets fan, but I'm definitely a fan of Rex Ryan because I love those Ryan boys. They are so much like their father. It's scary the way they talk, the way they act, the demeanor. It's all like their father. I was always a fan of Buddy Ryan. Even when he was coaching the Eagles, I love Buddy Ryan's personality.
As we've been talking, I've been checking out the different headlines and Rex Ryan, and I'm looking at a headline from NFL 1st and 10, and it's showing a picture of Jerry Jones, Bad Times in Big D. But there's another headline I was checking out. They were talking about where I guess Rex Ryan and the guys could take a lesson from the Houston Texans. What do you think that meant?
I have no idea, because anything that they think, whatever they're doing, like the Houston Texans, is really not working for them, because the Texans is 10-1 right now, and I mean, they're quietly the most successful team in the NFL right now. And, people are still not talking playoffs or Super Bowl about the Texans, but they do have a great team, and I mean and their defense is definitely second to none. They have a great game plan rolling with them. I mean, it's very balanced attack they have, and what I notice is that they're very cagey, they're very scrap. They stay in the games. They really hang in there. I can't say anything bad about them. I mean, they are truly one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL right now. But I have to say the Patriots, they have scored 190 points in the last four games, and that's a new modern football record. The Patriots really done gotten back into the got their swag back real good. I mean, we have to remember they were the they are the defending AFC champions. And they seems like they're on a mission to try to get back to the Super Bowl. But it's like, as long as you got Tom Brady throwing a rock, they always got a chance. And, I mean, they play some ruthless football.
They have a very down-to-earth swagger when they're doing good. A lot of teams, when they're doing good, they get that, like, yeah, we're bad. But One thing about the Patriots, it seems like they're like very like nonchalant, very like down to earth when they're doing good.
Yeah, just like
you know,
Coach Belichick.
They don't get the big head. They don't get the big head like some of us do when we're doing good.
Well, kind of like the way the Cowboys were, though. You know, they talk. I don't know so much that the Cowboys talked about it themselves, but word was going around, this is going to be the easiest part of the schedule. Everyone always talked about, you know, the winning percentage of the last 6-7 weeks of the teams that Cowboys would be playing. But it seemed like it's kind of fired up the teams that they're going against, because Cleveland Browns played them down to the very end, and then they had to go to overtime to beat Cleveland. But it's just that you can never get complacent and say we got an easy game or this game's going to be an easy one to win. You can never really say that. But then people say the wrong thing, and I mean, it usually fires up the other team. Because offensively and defensively, the Redskins came out there, they wanted to win. And that's just what they did. But it's disheartening watching my beloved Cowboys just give game. I mean, it's like the fourth game they just totally choked it away.
Well, that Thanksgiving game is always a big game too.
Well, it doesn't get any bigger than when you're playing the Redskins.
And on Thanksgiving.
Right. I mean, you can't get any better than that. I mean, I kind of like how some of the players have kind of stepped up a little bit as far as, you know, overall playing. Especially I've liked how Dez Bryant has gotten a lot better. But, you know, as usual, it's always fantastic and spectacular, but it's always too little too late.
Wow.
And the fact that the Saints turned around, they were 0-4. I mean, they just took the whole month of September off, and now they're coming back. They're storming back strong. You know, that's like kind of like a good news, bad news, because it looks like
NFC 2011 champions. You know.
Yep.
But I mean, Sunday they played like, but they're playing those 49ers, and the 49ers, the last time they met, that was when the 49ers beat them and went to the Super Bowl, right?
I think so.
They played them during the preseason, I believe. But this is a regular season game. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm still gonna try to find. I want to try to find out if they still got tickets left. Are you still planning on being here in Dallas for Christmas?
To be honest, you read my mind, because oh my God, Santa Claus made it possible to be at the Cowboys and the Saints game. Oh, that would be heaven. That would be heaven. Well, I pray and hope to be. And I pray to come there in the month of December, because Older School wants me to start classes in January. So I'm going to be in somebody's classroom, if not here in Jackson, in Dallas. You know, I'm going to be in somebody's classroom to get my institution license. But I would love to be there for, oh, my God. I hope my little girl powers. I was talking to someone the other week on the show, and I was like, I've always gotten what I wanted when I was a little girl. I would love it if Santa Claus would bless us both, like little kids. But you have your kids.
I had emailed Santa Claus. I'm still working on that one as far as the tickets, because right now I've gotten Scrooged for the most part. But yeah, I would love it. I was still.
You can relate to what I was talking about with Jay. So those that feel like, you know, bah humbug and acting like Scrooge, no, you're not in Scrooge mode, are you?
No, honestly, I'm not going to be in Scrooge mode anyway. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, one of my posts that I put in my league post on Facebook was about what has this Thanksgiving meant. And, I mean, for me personally, you know, I lost three lives in the past couple of years, and now I welcome my grandson into the fold this just